been a week. Tell me, how is everything? Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, because I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art, art, art. Welcome to Kick Art.
And welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, sponsored by Creative Talks at the Pump House Theatre for the month of March. Check out pumphouse.co.nz for more information. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. Now make sure you check us out at kickarts.org.nz to find out what's happening in your area and how you can support us to stay on air. Tonight, we have a wicked night lined up for you as we join some of the team at Barfoot & Thompson's Season of Wicked opening 31st of March. But as you know, we love supporting Kiwi music, so let's kick the show off with Libby Johnson's Right Person, Wrong Time.
You said right person, wrong time. I'm never not on your mind. So cryptic with what you're thinking. I tell myself that it's fine. You turn me on.
Thank you. Emma, you've been a jet setter this week, heading away to a conference for musical theatre.
Yeah, so I finished my time in Nelson, had a great workshop there with a group of youth from Nelson Youth Theatre, and then over to Blenheim for the Music Theatre New Zealand National Conference. It was our first one face-to-face in a couple of years, so it was really lovely to be back together again. And actually Blenheim, it turns out, was the place that originally the Music Theatre Federation of New Zealand first began. So it was lovely to be back where it all started.
Oh, that's so cool. That's cool. And having like-minded people all in a room together, what sort of things did it cover at the conference?
So there's 2 days of training and professional development, and we had things ranging from Fifi Coulson from Wearable Arts ran a costume and props workshop. We had Kerry Thurston, who is a intimacy coordinator, talking about that, through to things like Governance 101 and trying to understand the new constitution law. So there was some marketing, copyrights forum. There was something for everyone, performers, executive, artistic teams, conflict resolution, all sorts of things. So it's a really full-on 2 days. And in the middle of it, we have our annual AGM as well.
Brilliant. That's making the most of every second together.
Oh, it sure is. And I think it's great when you've only got a day and a half for a conference to do as much as possible. But you always wish there was more time to sit back and process what you've just done and network.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Now, this week you've checked in with the cast of Wicked for tonight's episode.
I sure have. We've definitely got an awesomely wicked time in the middle tonight. And they're only 2 weeks away from opening on the 31st for the Barfoot and Thompson season of Wicked. Finally happening for the fourth time. Today was a huge milestone for them. Today, as in the day we record this, so that will be last week by the time you're listening to this, because they just had their zits probe. And, of course, it was that day last year that we went into red and they had to make the call to close down. So this is the furthest they've been.
Wow.
So extremely exciting. And we talked to a range of people from the show, so it's going to be great. So I might actually, Stephen, if we're going to kick off, I'm going to ask you a question that I asked all of them. When was the first time you knew about Wicked or heard Wicked music? What were you doing? What can you remember?
Oh, good question, Emma. It was a long time ago. I remember hearing certain songs come out, like Defying Gravity, on just music and radio and things that we're listening to. And then the first time I saw it was actually in London, because I was lucky enough to be over there for a conference. I think you may have even been at the conference. And I went and caught it in London, although I never saw the ending of the show, because something happened and the safety curtain dropped. And then the stage manager walked on stage and said, "I'm sorry, the show will not continue." And we exit. So I didn't know the ending until I was lucky enough to see it with our own Kiwi cast in Christchurch many years later. And I got to see how the show ended.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So for me, I saw it in 2009 was the first time I ever saw it, and that was in Broadway. So that was absolutely amazing. And we did on Broadway they have what's called Behind the Emerald Curtain, where you can do like a pre-show tour and they tell you all about the history and everything. I knew the songs beforehand, but I just remember it was like my first big Broadway show that I ever seen. And it was definitely a show growing up as a young, well, as an older teenager. The dream of being Elphaba was one that every music theatre person has.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, before we deep dive into Wicked, how about we head to the North Shore and catch up with our good friend Mags from the Pump House?
Well, at Kick Arts, we are extremely lucky to have regular support from the Pump House. And for the month of March, Kick Arts has actually been sponsored by Creative Talks at the Pump House. And joining us now to tell us what these creative talks are all about is the amazing Mags Delaney, who many of you will know because she's been a part of Pump House for a very long time. Kia ora, Mags.
Kia ora, Emma. I've not been a member for a very, very long time, because you might tell from my voice that I'm not really from around these parts. But I have been involved as the community engagement person at the Pump House for the last 4 years, and one of my jobs has been to convene these amazing creative talks. So the creative talks have actually been around in one form or another since the early days of the Pump House. I'm currently going through lots of old newsletters trying to put together a history of the Pump House, and came across mention of a talk by Raymond Hawthorne back in 1978.
Wow.
People were being encouraged to come along and hear him and have some soup and a roll of bread. Unfortunately, we don't offer that anymore at the creative talks. So some of your listeners may have heard of the Friday forums or the speakers forum, and they were sort of like the early form of the creative talk. Creative talks really became creative talks in around 2017.
So, and who can tell us about some of the lineup that you've got happening for this year?
Well, for this year, I can tell you all about the lineup for this year. This year, we've got some splendid people, absolutely splendid people. We've actually already kicked off the season with Tabitha Beecroft, who is a local environmentalist, because she was involved with she is involved in the Pupuki Birdsong Project, who did a Discover Pupuki Moana Day just a couple of Sundays ago, and we tied it in with that. And she's also very connected with the Pump House because her mum, Genevieve, was responsible for saving the building. And without Genevieve's work, we wouldn't have a Pump House.
Wow.
So that was really great that we could bring that together. Next up is Tatiana Huttery, who you may know of, the writer of, it's gone out my head now. She's just won an award for her play that was on at the Basement, and it's having another run, and I can't remember what it's called, and she'll kill me for that. And she's coming along to talk about her life as an actor, director, playwright, and some of the work that she did that helped her get through her grief after losing her husband. So she's coming along because her play that she's written, whose name has really gone out my head, actually started life as a 10-minute play that she wrote as part of the Gary Henderson workshops that we have here at the Pump House. I think it might be Skin Thirst, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it is. It's Skin Thirst. I'm sure it is.
Skin Thirst.
I'm just looking it up for you, actually.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You
Skin can Hunger. Skin yeah. Hunger.
Skin Hunger. That's the one.
First Sorry, Hunger. Same thing. Yeah, excellent.
So she's coming along. So, you know, we look for talk speakers who've got connections with the Pump House or a connection to the local area. Next up after Tatiana is somebody called Emma Bishop. You may have heard of her. She does things in the arts, apparently. She's coming along to come and share her story about the work, the marvellous work that she does with a glass ceiling initiative, and the fantastic work she does with youth. And I think she appears on a radio show occasionally. So, no, not too sure about that. And then in August, we have David Vert, who is a local historian. And David's third visit to the Pump House. He's so popular when he comes. He's coming along to talk about Kiwi toys, New Zealand toys, the toys that New Zealand people grew up with.
Which is the Buzzy Bee.
The Buzzy Bee Man. Yeah, he'll talk about that. Yeah. So he's coming along to talk about toys that were made for the settler children to play with, Maori toys, traditional Maori games, all the way through up to modern games today. And he, as I say, he's very popular. So we usually get a good crowd for him. Then in September, we have a local author who's an award-winning crime writer called Lizzie Harwood. And her first book that she wrote won the Crime Writers Award in 2021. It's based in Auckland in the 1980s, and it's called Polaroid Nights. It's a good read. If you were around Auckland in those times, you'd probably relate to lots of the story. And then we finish up this season in October with Malcolm Calder, who you may know of as the man behind the Takapuna productions of End of the Golden Summer on Christmas Day on Takapuna Beach. But he's done so much more than that in theatre. So I'm looking forward to picking his brains and finding out all the things that he's done.
Emma, do you know what I love? Meg's just rattles that off like no one's reading off a piece of paper or anything for our listeners. Meg's just knows it, knows them all. You live and breathe it.
I just carry that in my head for a little bit. I'll have forgotten it all tomorrow.
So, Megs, do you get the same people that come to each of them? Or, depending on who it is, do you get quite a diverse audience to each different talk?
I have a core of people who come to everything. And bless them, they come to everything and they take in everything. Because we've had so many different kinds of speakers. I've had authors, I've had playwrights, I've had documentary filmmakers. When we closed because of COVID, I went online. I had a psychologist. I had an international one from an actor over in London. I've had Russell Dixon on. So I attract a varied amount of people. So I have a core group who come to everyone, and then each individual will attract people who are interested in them or maybe friends of them or just want to come along and support.
How do you decide who to get next?
How do I decide?
Yeah, that's got such an eclectic mix. I love it.
November time, I start to panic because I think, well, who do I know? Or who do I know who's done a talk who might know somebody else? And then I'm just very cheeky and send an email out and say, would you like to come and do a creative talk at the Pump House? And I've yet to have somebody say no. Everybody's been really good, really supportive, and come along, and they've either been interviewed by me or they've made a presentation. And, yeah, it's just a great evening. And it's free.
That's even better.
And for me, it was actually Mags and I attended an important community meeting run by ANCAD in Takapuna, and we were doing a training, and it was actually on co-governance models and integrating Te Reo and the Treaty of Waitangi into community organisations. And we were sat next to each other, and at the end of the morning, Mags turned to me and said, Emma, you must come and do a creative talk for us. And look what I'm doing.
That's so cool. But Emma, I think you need to demand the soup and bread. If Raymond Hawthorne can have it, Emma Bishop needs the soup and bread. Come on.
There's a cup of coffee and a biscuit. I'm sure
there's tea and coffee and biscuits. I can do that because it's an evening one now. Raymond Hawthorne was a lunchtime one.
Mm.
We don't have room for lunchtime ones anymore, I'm afraid, because we're so busy. But yes, there is tea, coffee and biscuits available and juice.
That's brilliant. Speaking of busy, what else is happening at the Pump House?
At the Pump House, we have opening next week My Year with Lorraine, written by Tanya Wheeler, who local playwright, who is also one of my past victims of a creative talk. And again, she brought along an extract of this her play that she had during a creative talk, which has now become a full-length play, and it has its premiere on Wednesday at 7:30 at the Pump House. Tickets still available, and that runs till next Sunday. So we've got that. And then on next Sunday morning, we have an Auckland Arts Festival show, Sungun Ya, which is a Korean puppet show, which is on in the morning, which will be in our outdoor amphitheatre. It sounds fascinating. It's a particular form of Korean puppetry. It's telling the story of the tortoise and the hare. And then the theatre is taken over by children for a month because the Tim Bray season of The Lighthouse Keeper's Lunch opens the following week. So we have lots of children around for a month. And then we kick into a one-act play festival for Shoreside Theatre, which will be the end of April. But yeah, so we're just constantly changing, constantly moving. All kinds of things for everybody.
Yeah, well, and it's great to see the amphitheatre being used because, of course, Shoreside season was a little bit interrupted with our friend Gabriel visiting and our flats.
Yes, just ever so slightly. I was actually stage manager for Merry Wives of Windsor, and on the Friday night of the very heavy rainfall, we were on stage warming up, and we saw the water come through the wall and across into the well and start to flood the theatre. So we were lucky that there were people actually on the premises when that happened, because if it had been empty, I don't think we'd still have a pump house. But we managed to stem the flow and stop it spreading into the main auditorium. And then unfortunately, the following Tuesday, the big heavy downpour we had in the early hours soaked out our coal bunker studio. So everywhere was wet. We had dehumidifiers on the go for 10 days. But the building seems to have stood up to it. We've dried out. We don't smell. Please come along and see shows there.
Right.
A great byline. We've dried out and we don't smell. Please come along. Yeah.
So, Megs, tell people, how can they find out more about the Creative Talks? Where do they come? Do they need to book? I know it's free, but do you like them to book, etc.?
Business stuff. Yeah. So to come along to the Creative Talks, if you have a look on our website, which is pumphouse.co.nz, and look under the special tab that says Creative Talks, it will give you an outline of all the Creative Talks that are coming up this season. We do suggest that you book for the Creative Talks because the seating is limited. It's up in our coal bunker studio. So we can sit about 50 people comfortably. Any more than that, we're breaking regulations. So we try not to do that. If I could get 50 people up there, I would dance with joy. So it's up to you, Emma, to get all your friends to come along. But if you want to come along, yeah, just book a ticket online and it will come through, and then we'll know how many people are there. Or give me a ring, and I can't tell you what the phone number is because I can't remember off the top of my head. But if you want to ring up, just ring the Pump House general line and press 2 and you'll come through to me.
Now, I love that so many of the Pump House staff are still so heavily involved in the arts as well. Like you've said, you've just been the stage manager. James, of course, is heavily involved with Shoreside Theatre. Meg's just come out of her season of educating Rita.
It was absolutely amazing.
So it's so great to have a local venue that talks the talk, walks the talk, and is actively involved in our communities, which we really appreciate.
Yeah. Well, we try our best. We try our best to keep our fingers in every pie going. I'm involved in the one-act plays that are coming up. I'm looking after them. And I'll be involved in Agatha Christie later this year, which is also another Shoreside show, but that will be on at the Pump House. And I'm taking a step from behind the scenes as a stage manager to put a director's hat on. So that will be...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we will have to catch up with you at that time then, Mags, to hear about everything to do with Agatha Christie. But in the meantime, jump over to Pump House's website, everybody, and find out what's going on. And once again, Kick Arts would love to thank you for your regular support and keeping us on air.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so grateful. Thank you.
No problem. It's a pleasure. And keep up the good work.
surfing, skating, surfing, skating, surfing, skating, surfing, skating, surfing, surfing.
Well, that was Woohoo from Surf Friends. It's the ultimate stripped back surf skate song and is one of the singles on Surf Friends' latest album that's just come out, Sonic Waves.
Now, Emma, it's been a little while since we've done this to have a review. So a great chance to remind our wonderful theatre and arts makers out there that if you'd like your show reviewed, email us, send us a couple of tickets, and we'll send a fabulous person like Merrin along, as we did last week, to check out The Wedding at the Basement. Welcome back, Merrin.
Hi, great to be back.
Great to have you here. How's life been since your last Kick Arts visit?
Oh, yeah, I've been rocking along, just, you know, living life, trying to figure out what to do with my life. I finished my job, so now I'm out freelancing, so that's always a bit of a challenge, especially in the environment, the political environment we have now with all the funding issues. But, yeah, so, yeah, we're doing good, eh?
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, you've got to just take that step, eh?
And that's right, yeah, yeah.
Your heart and your head's in, the work will
come. That's right, exactly.
Well, last week we sent you off to check out The Wedding at the Basement, which was their second showing of this show. Tell us a little bit about it and what did you think?
Sure. So The Wedding is a high-energy, devised, silly piece that has touches of political satire through it, which was created by a fools company. These are guys that have gotten together after graduating Unitech and decided to put on their own stuff, which, you know, as I've just shared with you, it's quite challenging to get out there and put on your own stuff. So yeah. I totally admire anyone who's willing to get together and try and find their own funding. So these guys are doing just that. They're trying to find their own funding, and they're looking to go to the Melbourne Fringe Festival. So they put on this season of The Wedding to try and raise some money, and they were doing a pay what you can to come and see the show to fundraise, which I think
so
is which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just so much fun. It's just five actors playing lots of different roles. So the story is that they're just, it's in this mysterious place called Latnovia, where someone has suddenly had to get married, and we don't really see the bride until the end, but this groom has come, not knowing who the bride is, but knowing that he's supposed to marry her. And we meet all these characters along the way where we're heading towards this wedding, and there's a possibility that the wedding is going to be destroyed by a beast that comes and will take out anyone who's having inappropriate premarital sex. So it was just fun. It was silliness. There was physical theatre, you know, touches of commedia dell'arte. So these guys are obviously have done some training and have really found what they're passionate about and are really just exploring theatre. And I just had so much fun. I took my husband. He wasn't too sure about what was going on, but he was having a great time anyway. We're having a laugh, and we really enjoyed it, especially the energy, the passion that these guys were putting in. And I just, we had a really good night.
Did it feel devised, or did it feel that it actually had got to a real scripted point?
For me, it felt devised because I know what a devised piece looks like, but it was smooth. Like, they definitely really worked on it. These guys clearly know each other really well and can work really well together. There was definitely a sense of that they had each other's back, you know, and it was there was at no point were you concerned that you weren't quite sure what was going on, but yeah, you know, even in the madness, you knew that they were tight. They knew what they were doing, and as the audience, we just went along for the ride. It was great.
Emma, that's an interesting comment Merrin says about them having each other's back, because you and I sort of talked about that at the end of their interview a few weeks ago. They were very tight knit, even in their interview.
They sure were, and it definitely helps when you're doing something that's a little bit outside of the box, I think, to know that you are safe, that whole creating that safe environment for themselves and the audience.
If they stage it again, who do you recommend as their audience?
So a lot of the audience this time around were quite young, probably like university grads and stuff. But again, it's because it was a pay-as-you-can kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, it's been a few years since I graduated university, and the same with my husband. We're in our early 40s now, and we loved it. We had a great time. So I don't think that anyone should feel like they're too old to come and see something like this. We had a great time. I think their audience can be really broad. Anyone who just wants to come along, have a really good time. There were like little just nuggets of political satire through it that you can just kind of get on board and be like, yeah, that's, you know, there's the smarts. But then just, it was just fun as well. You know, you can also let that stuff pass you by and just have a silly night if you want. Yeah.
And every now and then you need that. Just, you know, go to a show where actually I don't need to get into deep thinking. I just need to be entertained and taken to a fun space.
Yeah.
Emma, I'd be curious to know from the team how the pay-as-you-go worked for them financially. Yeah. Did it cover their costs? I mean, you would hope that it swings and roundabouts. Those that can only afford a few dollars but gets them into the arts is fabulous. But those that perhaps can afford more than what might have been a ticket at the basement, that they actually put in more. I'd love to know how that worked out for them.
Yeah, definitely. I always find that quite challenging to think that I've heard comments of, well, if they're not charging a lot, then obviously it's not very good, which is a terrible thing to be going into, you know, because I've been to many productions that have charged a ridiculous amount of money and really not enjoyed it. And I've gone to stuff that, you know, just like gold coin and had a fantastic time and seen a lot of talent and a lot of really good work. So I don't think that we really need, I think we really need to change that mindset around that the more expensive it is, the better the work is.
Absolutely.
And it comes down to, of course, our funding models, and that funding model may allow for someone to charge less because they've got more funding. So speaking of funding, Merrin, have you had your say on the Auckland Council City's new budget and the cutting of the arts?
I sure have, yes. I put a lot of thought into it. I'm someone who usually will steer away from that because I feel like I don't have anything to say. But I really suggest that people don't allow themselves to do that. I know there's a lot of people like me who feel like, I don't know how I could get my point across, how I feel about it. You know, they're okay with these forms where you can just tick yes or no, but when you're being asked to actually say how it's going to affect you and what you think about it, people kind of shy away and don't step up. But we need to say something. Don't worry about being eloquent or sounding intelligent. Just, you know, say
Be honest.
Just be honest. Say from your heart how it's going to affect you. If you're a person who's involved in community theatre and you just love being involved and not having a chance to have that outlet, you know, working all day and maybe it's the only thing that really makes you feel like part of the community and makes you feel you can de-stress at the end of the day, then say that. It's really important that you have your say in these things.
And even if you're just an audience member coming along to a community venue, because a lot of these community venues are going to have their funding cut, which is going to then impact the groups that are using it, because the only way to cover that is to put the cost of using it up.
Totally, exactly. Yeah.
Have your say. Head to that Auckland Council website. I think you've got to the end of the month. Is that right, Emma?
Yes.
Brilliant. Well, Merrin, lovely to catch up with you. Thanks for heading to the wedding. Well done to the team putting on the wedding. We'll look forward to hearing how they get on in Melbourne.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And we'll look forward to catching up with you when you have your next theatrical adventure.
Yes, great. Thanks. See you guys.
thrilled to be kicking off our Wicked time this evening on Kick Arts with Wicked's one and only amazing director, Alexandra McKellar, who has not been done this only once. She's probably up to three or four times now. So kia ora, Alex.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
No worries at all. So for our listeners that don't know what's been happening, well, give us a little bit of the whakapapa back to when this all started.
So I first came on board with Wicked in 2018, and we were originally going to be doing a 2020 season, which then turned into a 2021 season, which then turned into a 2022 season, and now we are finally opening in 2 weeks' time in 2023.
So obviously, four-season attempts, it's a massive amount of challenge for anyone. Tell us, what is it that you think's got you to this place today? What is it that's been kept you going and going?
I think for me, NSMT and the committee, our production managers, Corey and Robin, have just been so 100% behind trying to get this to the stage right from the beginning. And I think without NSMT being brave enough to keep trying in what is still a very challenging climate for anyone in the arts, takes a lot of bravery and a lot of passion. And I think if we didn't have them pushing it, it would have been much easier to give up and walk away. I'm also very, very fortunate to have a really supportive husband who is back in Wellington looking after our two little boys while I'm up here rehearsing every weekend and now up here for the next few weeks getting the show on.
Crazy. So that must have been interesting too, because of course for our listeners, Alex last year moved, well, was it last year or a year and a half ago, moved now to Wellington. So you've been having to commute.
Yeah, so we were due to open and then I was basically going to do opening weekend in 2021 and then move to Wellington, and then the show got postponed. So I moved to Wellington middle of lockdown as soon as they changed the rules that allowed us to escape, and spent last summer coming up hoping we were going to be opening that 2022 season. And then obviously that fell through when we moved to Red the day of our Zits Pro, the day before we packed into the theatre. And now we've just completed our Zits Probe in the theatre today. So that's been a pretty big milestone for us.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit, what was it like walking into Sky City to that orchestra sitting on stage today?
It was overwhelming in a really positive way and also felt a little bit surreal. I think because this was, Zits Probe was just that one big step that we made it so close to and never actually got over the line, that I had built it up so much in my head that if today went well, then the show is actually going to happen and I can let myself feel like it's going to go on stage. So I'm feeling super excited, and it just sounded incredible, and being able to hear our orchestra and our cast together in our performance space was just the most incredible feeling.
Tell us, when did you first get introduced to Wicked as a show? How old were you when you first heard Wicked?
Oh, I think I must have been maybe 13-ish, and that was, I mean, I grew up in a theatre family and I grew up watching musicals all the time and I always loved it. But when I heard Wicked for the first time, that was the show for me that I went, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to be doing shows and I want to do a show like this. And so being able now to actually see my version of Oz and my version of Wicked on stage is just so, so cool.
And stupid question, probably hard. Well, maybe not stupid, but hard question. Favourite number?
Oh, that is really hard. I think it's probably changed a lot throughout my life. I think that as I've grown with the show, you feed into different characters in different stories. As you have your own life experiences, that means you can understand them more. And I think today, based on where I'm at today, my favorite number is probably One Short Day. And that's just because of the joy and the magic of it, which is the entire environment we've been in all day.
Come with me to the Emerald City.
One short day.
That is so, so cool. So if you had to put some adjectives around the feelings you would like audience members to leave with in 2 weeks' time, throw some adjectives my way.
I would love people to walk away feeling inspired, joyful, uplifted, confident, I think.
Yeah. Confident's a good one. So why confident? Let's break that one down a bit, eh?
I think confident because one of the things I love the most about the show and the characters in it is that they are not afraid to stand up for what's right, whether that means that they end up demonized. And I think the world that we live in at the moment, we need more people who are like that, who are confident in themselves and confident in what they believe in and are really happy to stand up for that. So if, you know, if one person can leave the show going, yeah, Alphaba's totally right, I'm going to stand up for this next time an injustice happens, then that's how music theatre can change the world.
That is beautiful. Now, what a fantastic way to end this little segment of our wicked experience this evening on Kick Art. Wish you all the best, Alex, for the next couple of weeks. I can't wait to be there on opening night and be amongst everyone. Thank you so much for your time. And maybe you could introduce to us who I'm speaking to next.
Well, next up, you have got Heather Wilcock, who is our Alphaba, and Skylar Jett, who is our Fiero.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you.
Well, hello, Heather and Skylar. How are you?
Good.
So, Heather, you've been part of this journey since day dot, when it first was auditioned, etc. Tell us a little bit about how you've managed to keep Alphaba alive through many postponements and restarts.
Goodness me. I don't know if they keep her alive or we just keep coming back together. It's kind of this strange process where it's almost like going on holiday and then you come back and you're that person again. It's good fun though, but I'm definitely learning more and more about who Alphaba is and what she stands for and her mannerisms and things every time we come back. So a silver lining, I suppose you could say, is just getting to know the character so deeply.
Amazing. Now, this isn't the first time you've played Alphaba as a character. So tell us about the differences maybe since you played it in Christchurch a number of years ago to now.
For me personally, I would say that the biggest difference has been in my vocal performance. I've had a lot of help with the incredible Charlotte West, who has just really opened my voice to things that I really didn't think I'd ever be able to say. You know, to be able to say that no good deed is not incredibly difficult, although still difficult. Don't get me wrong; it's still very hard, but it's not. There's no tension anymore. It's just purpose and drive and energy, and I feel so safe in my voice, which is just due to, you know, like having the time and experience to get to know what my voice does and how to use it properly. It's still awesome being able to sing the songs, but just having that knowledge of my own instrument is really incredible.
Awesome. Now, jumping over to you, Skylar, tell us a little bit about your character within Wicked.
Yeah, so I'm playing Fiero, sort of like the love interest, I guess you would say, of Alphaba and somewhat Glinda. it's been a pretty interesting journey. I wouldn't say I've had as much time with Fiero as Heather has, but it's certainly been an interesting one. I always, when I first, I guess, got offered the role, I was a bit unsure at first because he's so quite different to myself normally, and I wasn't sure if I could really portray that to its, you know, to its full. But I guess that it was also now the nice challenge of it was just being able to say that, hey, this is actually kind of out of my comfort zone, and it's something that I can just work towards, as opposed to many other characters that might have more similarities to me. So yeah, it's been really interesting just seeing how Fiero, I guess, interacts with other characters and the different Alphabas, I guess, as well in the show. So it's been really great.
Awesome. So tell us, Skylar, when was the first time that you ever heard a song from Wicked? How old were you?
Oh, I actually remember this. It was when I was about 12. I remember it was in year 8. I was at North Cross Intermediate, and there was like a lip syncing competition that was going on. And one of the girls who was performing a song did Popular from Wicked. And I had no idea what it was from. Like I heard it. I was like, this is a really cool song. And I remember that night going, you know, going online and looking up this song. And funny, not until actually the first rehearsal that I actually realized that Popular was from Wicked. And I was like, I know this one. I knew a song from the show. So yeah, I was 12 years old when I first heard a song from the show. So that was my introduction, I guess.
Awesome. And what about you, Heather? What introduced you to Wicked, the very first memory you have of Wicked?
I think I probably was about 8 years old.
Oh, you beat me.
I think every young girl, since they first you know, take up musical theatre. This is the show that they always dream of being in. So at 8, I think I was singing, you know, Defying Gravity around the house, or I think I actually did a, do you know what is actually crazy? Is Cherie and I sang the duet for Good Together when we were both very young, because we had the same singing teacher. And so we, at one of the concerts, got up and did For Good. So it's like this crazy full circle moment for me. It's awesome.
That's amazing. Now, what's your favourite number in the show? There's a question for both of you. Favourite number in the show?
That's tough. I love No Good Deed just because there's so much emotion. It's such an emotional roller coaster, that song. But I love the vulnerability that Alphaba gets to show when she does I'm Not That Girl. I think that's a really underrated song, and I think it's so beautiful.
Same thing. I mean, originally Popular was my favorite. It is still really good. It's still definitely up there, but I hadn't heard No Good Deed before, you know, actually starting the rehearsals, and I was like, wow, this is such a powerhouse of a song, and it's in such like a intense part of the show as well. And it's just, you know, Alphaba and like nothing else, and it's so intense, and every time I just can't help but just get goosebumps every time I hear it. It's great.
Now, trade secret time, Heather. How long does it take you to green up?
Well, at the moment, the last time I was painted green was for a photo shoot. So it did take a little bit longer because we were really, really precise, really careful. And that took about, I want to say, an hour and a half. But before the show, we should get it down to under an hour. And then taking it off at the end of the night is anywhere between 20 minutes to half an hour.
That's not as bad as I thought.
No, it has been much worse. I think I know which products to use now in terms of like an oil-based cleanser rather than water-based, because, you know, that's a tough paint to get off. And then it lives in your hand for weeks after the show. So I think I'll be a little bit discolored for a while.
So when if you're wanting to stand at stage door to meet Alphabet, maybe don't, because she might be a while.
And be prepared to wait, or, you know, just go somewhere afterwards and maybe I'll pop around and say hello.
Yeah, or prepare to be covered in green if one hugs.
Yeah.
That's absolutely awesome. Now, if you were able to be in a little speaker in the foyer at the end of the night after the show, what would you like to hear audience members saying about the production?
I would really love to hear how they connected with the characters. I think the music is incredible. It's going to sound amazing, but it's the storytelling that I want people to go away with. I want them to feel love and support, and I want them to really connect with the characters.
Awesome. What about you, Skylar?
Yeah, I just hope they see that all the work that everyone's put into the show, like even just, you know, the ensemble characters, everyone has their own little backstory. And I know when I always go to watch a show, I like to watch the, you know, people in the background doing little interactions and seeing what their characters are. And I hope that everyone gets to see all that work that put into it as well, and how great, you know, everyone sounds together in the ensemble and how much that supports, you know, everyone else's performance. So, yeah, I hope they enjoy that.
That's very cool. Well, as I said to Alex, I can't wait to see the show myself. It's one of my favourites. So thank you so much for sticking around after what's been a huge day for you guys singing to be on Kick Arts, and Kick Arts just can't wait.
Our pleasure. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Get your tickets.
Wow. After listening to Alex's favourite song from the show, One Short Day, we're now being joined by three of those little Aussie-in people, three of the magical ensemble. First up, we've got Louise Wilkie, we've got Josh Morris, and we've got Matt Bruce. Kia ora!
Kia ora!
So, let's start with you, Matt. I'm actually going to start with one of the later questions that I asked the other two. When was the first time that you can remember hearing or knowing that a show called Wicked existed?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's strange, because I didn't really get into theatre until my later years in high school, and it wasn't until I did the first Broadway Dreams New Zealand, I think, that I made a connection with Wicked. And then the first time I was able to see it was when I traveled over to New York. I think it was just before the first COVID lockdown, before the world ended. I managed to see it twice over there in New York, which was epic. But before then, I hadn't really connected with it. So, no, I'm not one of those people who has an early connection to the show.
Okay, so I'll slightly twist the question for you then. Because you were a little bit older when you first saw it, what was the bit of the show that had the biggest impact for you that first time you saw it?
I suppose other than like the incredible spectacle of the entire thing, I remember sitting in my seat just being like, wow. I left the theatre not really sure what I just witnessed. I think the underlying themes of inclusivity and coming together in the show kind of really stuck with me when I left the theatre. I didn't really know anything about it. All I had heard was there's a green girl, and it's what happened before The Wizard of Oz. That's what I went into it knowing. And so, yeah, walking away, I think it really stuck with me, that theme of friendship that Glinda and Alphabet form by the end of the show is something quite special.
Awesome. What about you, Josh? When did you first get introduced to Wicked?
It would have been, I don't know, maybe like around, like, I'm thinking like maybe middle school / high schoolish, because like this was before I was like properly into musical theatre and still like just a dancer. I'd like heard of it a little bit. I'd heard of the show, like I've heard like the synopsis of being like, oh, it's like kind of a prequel. It's like what happens before The Wizard of Oz happens. That's kind of all I knew. I'd heard of the songs popular in Defying Gravity, but that's basically all I knew about it. Like the most I got into it was when I auditioned for the show, basically, and then learned of the entire story and all that, and learned that what I originally thought Defying Gravity was what ended the show, that I learned, oh, there's like an entire an entire act that happens after that song. There's, it keeps going, but like, yeah, that was basically my kind of like first exposure to it.
So you'd never done a slow waltz or a interpretive dance or anything to the sound of Wicked?
No, I hadn't. No, like, yeah, just it was just kind of heard of it in the background, basically. But yeah, I'm here doing it now, which is great.
Beautiful. And what about you, Lou? When did you first hear it, know it, feel it?
I saw it at the Civic in 2000 and something when it came from Australia. And I remember going to go see it with my nana, and it was just the coolest experience. And I remember saying, oh, I'm going to do that one day. And now my nana's coming from Wellington to come and watch me in this production. So it's so special, and I just can't wait for her to see it and for us to experience all of that all over again.
So, Lou, tell us a little bit about four iterations, four different slightly changed casts. Tell us what has kept you going since 2019.
Yeah, it's been a journey. Hey, I think the thing that that has probably kept me going is just the support from all the cast members. I mean, we have been together for 3 years now, and so all the friendships that we've made have really kept us going, and just the support from the team. Yeah, it's just been great. We've bonded like no cast probably ever has ever. And, you know, there are other shows that stay together for years and years, but they've probably made it to the stage by year three. So it's just been the longest rehearsal process. But, yeah, new cast members coming in have kept it really fresh, and it's just, it's been great.
Oh. Josh, tell me, what is your favourite part of the show?
Probably my favourite thing to do in the show is honestly just being Chistery. For those who don't know, Chistery is one of the flying monkeys, and he's the first one to get his wings. I like pull some strings and his wings pop out of my mouth. It's very fun. It's so fun to do. I love being a monkey on stage, just like going around doing my own thing. It's great fun. Can't have enough of it, to be honest.
He's very convincing.
I love that. I think you're starting to be typecast, Josh. Josh, a couple of weeks ago, was at a festival with a tiger, and then, of course, in the stage here, he's a monkey. That's amazing. Matt, tell me, have you got a favourite song?
Oh, it changes. I've got a really specific favourite song from the show, and it's only about 20 seconds long, and everyone makes fun of me for it, but there's a reprise in Act 2 that Glinda sings of I'm Not That Girl, a song that Elphaba sings in Act 1, which is just so stunning, and Teresa and Lizzie and all of our Glindas, we've got three of them, they all do such a beautiful job on it. But I think my favourite song in the show, everyone kind of tends to lean towards Defying Gravity, but No Good Deed does it for me. Heather, Cherie, and Zavair, they are three powerhouse women, powerhouse voices, and that song is, it's a beast. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So you've alluded to something there, Matt. There's some of the roles have three, so a lead character with two alternates. What's it like being in the ensemble, having to rehearse with different people playing the same character?
Yeah, it's cool. I really enjoy it because it always keeps it fresh. It always keeps you on your toes because none of them do it the same. They all do it slightly differently. I've got the real privilege of being the Bok understudy / alternate. So I get to chop and change in between my ensemble track and the Bok track. So it keeps it fresh for me. But yeah, working with different people throughout the different runs really helps to kind of keep it fresh and keep us in the moment because, yeah, as I said, it's never going to be quite the same as it was the run before.
Mm. Now, Lou, I asked the others if they could be on a sneaky microphone in the foyer at the end of opening night. What would you like people to be saying? What's something you would love to hear an audience member say about your show?
Oh, just that they had fun. I mean, at the end of the day, it is just such a fun show. I remember when I went to see it, the first thing that I said when I came out was, oh my goodness, I didn't realize this was connected to The Wizard of Oz. So I really hope that everyone who does know about The Wizard of Oz is able to make all those connections, and just it just makes it such a special show when you're able to relate to it in some way, I suppose. So I just hope that everyone sees it and maybe sees a little bit of themselves on stage in some way, shape or form, and at the end of the they had fun because we're all having fun.
Wow, you've all had to work so hard. It's great that you're still having fun doing it. What was it like today, Matt, walking in to the stage full of the orchestra and going through the zit?
Oh, it was amazing. It was quite an interesting feeling. We had a big chat as a cast before the sits probe. We all kind of sat in a circle and shared how we were feeling because obviously for some of us, like us three, we've been in it since day one, 3 years ago. Was when we auditioned. So kind of getting this close and never reaching this point has always been, you know, it's been tough. So to finally reach that day, it was a bit of mixed emotions for me personally. Like I was obviously really, really excited, but this day last year when we got cancelled was full of emotion. So yeah, it was really exciting to be here. And honestly, hearing that orchestra, they sound phenomenal. Like that downbeat of the opening number started and every hair on my body just stood up. It was awesome.
That is amazing. Well, I've got a final question for the three of you and you can all answer together. What's your favourite colour?
Pink! No, it's green.
It's green. Always green. Always.
But pink goes good with green.
Pink does go good with green.
Just like your hair, Emma.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good segue.
Well, everybody, you've heard it here. We've heard from the director. We've heard from main leads. We've heard from these amazing ensemble. Wicked opens at Sky City Theatre in 2 weeks' time. Opens on the 31st. You would be doing yourself a wrong to not get along. Tickets are selling fast, so make sure you do get in. And, you know, stick around. You might see these guys afterwards and you can say that you heard about it first on Kick Up.
Fiero saving you, I promise no good deed will I attempt to-
Well, if that interview doesn't encourage you to jump online and book your tickets now, I don't know what will. And, of course, that last song was No Good Deeds, which was mentioned a few times over the interviews, so a really good way to end our wicked time. Well, we've had a number of things fly into our inbox in the last week, so thought we'd catch you up on some events happening across the motu, starting with Maori stand-up comics unite to raise funds for cyclone victims. So, a Shortland Street actor, an award-winning journalist, and a father and daughter comedy duo walk into a bar. No, this isn't a joke. It's the lineup of some of the Maori stand-up comedians who are joining forces to raise funds for whānau who have been acted by Cyclone Gabrielle. The Maori Comic Belief Benefit will be headlined by Shortland Street actor Kura Foster, and she is going to be joined by some of the funniest Maori comedians in the business. So, this is happening, of course, at Corbin's Wine Estate at the new Tapo Theatre. So this is a chance to get along and have a check out of this new space, which, of course, we spoke to Tainui about a few weeks ago. And it's on the 1st of April. How appropriate. April Fool's Day. But this isn't any kind of a joke. At 7:30 p.m. Find out more and get tickets at tapotheatre.nz. That's www.tepoutheatre.nz. And from the art gallery, we have five young Samoan women create new realities and space for self-liberation in a multidisciplinary art exhibition called Queen Fiapoto, Switch Code Reverse. Now, what's this all about? Well, Queen Fiapoto pays homage to the Queen Poto buses back in Samoa. The multidisciplinary project Queen Fiapoto Switch Code Reverse is presented by the Sugars of Artists Collective. In the exhibition, the artists use the idea of masks and code switching in their favour. Masks and also change become a tool of camouflage, of which Malai are masters of. Drawing from their safety of home, Malai and co. redefine the act of code switching and unpack the need to wear masks. Now, this is on at Tuatai Gallery from the 11th of March, so it's already open until the 6th of May. So get along and check that out. That's on K Road at Tuatai Gallery on Level 1. Now, Tamaki Makaurau's first multi-genre women's festival launches in April this year, taking place across the entirety of Tamaki Makaurau in April from the 13th to the 22nd. Her festival is Aotearoa's own multi-genre festival, bringing together community by and for women. Launching their inaugural program, HER have set the ambitious goal of being the largest platform for all who identify as women in New Zealand. HER is for feminists of all genders, ages and ethnicities who enjoy the arts and creative expression, self-development and thought-provoking experiences. Stemmed from a call of interest in 2021, a curated program has been cultivated throughout the last 2 years into a beautiful free program with a focus on influencing change. Highlights of the 9-day festival include a Run Riot sports event, an immersive walk through the CBD, an art collaboration workshop with Judy Darrell and Yana Dabrowski Meepaya, DJ workshops, poetry slam, film screenings, and a sex education workshop with Brave. The festival runs citywide with multiple venues coming alive with feminist energy and empowerment in the city and suburbs. Now, you can find out all about HER via www.herfestival.co.nz, and that's happening from the 13th to the 22nd of April. Now, after a 3-year absence from the Auckland's theatre scene, the annual Pacific Dance Festival is returning to our stage from the 1st to the 16th of June. The 2023 festival program represents the international partnership which celebrates the diversity and richness that the Pacific bring to the dance and arts landscape of Aotearoa. Filled with araha, alofa, ofa, or love, the team of Pacific Dance New Zealand have curated a program of full-length works, workshops, seminars, screenings, fashion shows, matinees, and the much-anticipated Moana Showcase that will include the annual choreographic lab showing the emerging Aotearoa-based Pacific choreographers. Now, this will be happening and opening on Wednesday the 1st of June at the ASB Waterfront Theatre in central Auckland, with the New Zealand premiere of Manu Malo, direct from Hamburg, Germany. So that's pretty exciting. You can find out everything you need to know about the Pacific Dance Festival at www.pacificdance.co.nz. And staying with dance, the Royal New Zealand Ballet's sensational Romeo and Juliet tours Aotearoa in May. So Shakespeare's great love story returns in May with a passionate retelling of Romeo and Juliet touring to 8 venues across the motu. So this colour and vitality of the marketplace in which the bawdy laughter turns to horror in the blink of an eye, the grandeur of the Capulet Palazzo in which love blooms, and the intimacy of balcony, bedroom and tomb are all swept up in the sensuous score. Romeo and Juliet offers the RNZB's dancers the chance to give and the audiences to experience the performance of a lifetime. So that, in association with Avis, tours to Wellington, Auckland, Dunedin, Christchurch, Palmerston North and Napier from 4th of May. Principal conductor Hamish McKeek will conduct the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra in Wellington, the Auckland Philharmonia Orchestra and the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra, with the recording by Orchestra Wellington accompanying all other performers. So, following the national tour, ballet lovers throughout Australasia will have the opportunity to purchase and to view a specially made online broadcast version of Romeo and Juliet filmed during the Wellington season, and capturing all the excitement of the live performance, with viewing available from the 16th of June to the 6th of July. So a great chance to either see it live, or if you miss it, to see it online. And of course you can get tickets from rnzb.org.nz. Now, don't forget, if you have something coming up, an event, an exhibition, a show, maybe even an audition or a shout-out that you need to get up, send us an email at info@kickarts.org.nz and we'll either share it to our social medias, put it on a bulletin, or put it up on our events page on our website.
Well, that was a wicked show, Emma.
It sure was. I actually loved at the end of the Wicked interview with the ensemble where I asked them what their favourite colour was, and they all know me so well that they all called out pink. But I wanted them to call out green.
It's funny. Yep, they know you well. They know you well. Now, by the time this goes to air, you and I have had another busy week. I'm winging my way to Aussie to catch the wonderful, my favourite show, Beautiful, which is on in the Gold Coast, and a few other theatre happenings over the week, and then coming back to Barfoot and Thompson's 100th birthday. Now, I don't know, Emma, if you've driven down the Southern Motorway and noticed the Ellerslie Racecourse building this massive structure all over the racecourse. It is just for one night for 4,000 people to have a black tie dinner, probably one of the largest dinners to be served all at once in Auckland. Evidently, we're entering via all these tunnels and things that will bring us up to our allocated seats to be all served and entertained. So next week's show, I'll be able to let you know who the entertainment is, because I hear we're going to be surprised.
Wow, that sounds absolutely amazing.
And you've got a busy Saturday as well.
Yeah, so Saturday, the day before this airs, is the annual NACTA Awards, the Northern Area Performing Arts Trust, which celebrates the 2022 season of shows here in Zone 1, Music Theatre New Zealand Zone 1, which goes from the Bombays up to Whangarei. So those awards are happening at Centre Stage Theatre next Saturday evening, which will be a great night.
Brilliant. Now, we said a big thank you to Mags today in the Pump House for supporting us, but we need support. So jump on our website, kickarts.org.nz. If you or your organisation, or even as an individual, can help us out with a week or two or a month of broadcasting fees, makes a huge difference. So,
or even a donation. There's a donation button there too. So any amount helps.
Yep, we're going to be on a countdown soon, Emma, to returning to the studio. It's happening. I don't want to jinx it yet, but it's happening. We'll be doing a countdown throughout the month of April. Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
Sounds superb.
Now, if you've got something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We can slot you into our shows, pop you up on our website, and, of course, promote, because the arts world, that's what we're all about.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to go out tonight. I'm grateful for new Kiwi Hatchlings, which is the Spotify playlist of new Kiwi music. So for our final song, we will go out with Yes I Do from Reed.
Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some ass.
Can you? do. Can you wear that diamond ring? Say, baby, yes, I do. Oh, won't you take me by the hand now, darling? Yeah, say, baby, yes, I do. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, blah.